Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. It's Tiki and Tierney Studio. Boy, the Browns, they are a disaster. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage on this Tuesday around the country. We're in New York City, but of course, we're going to hit you from every angle. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206, radio.com, on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Job's too big for Freddie Kitchens, man. The job is too big for Freddie Kitchens.
Putting on the coach, not the players?
We'll get to the players, but I really believe the job is just too big for Freddie Kitchens.
I mean, we knew this, though, BT. He was, what was he, a tight end coach? No, running back coach, and then he ascended to the interim head coach. He got along well with Baker Mayfield. So we don't need to interview anybody else. We don't need to think critically about this. Let's just make Freddie Kitchens the long-term head coach. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to keep calling the plays because I like calling the plays, and Baker likes me calling the plays. Now you got lots and lots and lots of responsibilities as the full-time head coach and tons of things to think about, including game management and how to deal with the egos of all the guys that are on the squad right now and the injuries that happen to come along. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you got to play another team on Sunday afternoons. It's not like you're practicing any longer. I mean, this is – I mean, I'm alarmed in a sense, mm-hmm. but I'm also – kind of expecting of this. You're a rookie head coach, and not in the sense that because he coached last year, so he's not really a rookie, kind of a rookie, quasi-rookie head coach, mm-hmm. With a young team, with a lot of egos, and a tough division. They got a tough schedule as well this season, and Freddie Kitchens is trying to do it all, as any young leader wants to do. I want to do it all, but he hasn't learned to delegate. So I'm not surprised that this is happening. And while I'll focus more on the players and the lack of execution and the turnovers and Baker Mayfield acting like a chump in a malcontent, which I think is intentional, to be honest with you. But at the end of the day, I kind of expected this from Freddie Kitchens, though. How could you not?
Well, I think the big problem with Freddie and – he doesn't have the juice to coach around this, so he's kind of trapped himself. He's trying to placate everybody. Mm-hmm. Hey, Odell, we're going to get you a little, or we're going to have you throw it downfield early on. Hey, Landry, we got you. Hey, Chubb, hey, 88 yards of the house left. We got you. We're going to run through you. Hey, Odell, you're going to run one as well. You're going to throw it. You're going to run it. You're going to do everything but catch it, really. You only had a few targets here. Listen, to be fair to the Browns, the AFC North is not very good. Mm-mm. They just smashed the Ravens. The Bengals are hopeless this year. The Steelers are in a seemingly fatal state of disrepair. And, they get a one-year reprieve. They're a great franchise, and they've had a lot of circumstances. There's a reason why they are where they are. 8-for-22 mm-hmm. for Baker Mayfield. And, again, to be further fair, it's 14-3. That was a pretty well-thrown ball that was juggled at the goal line. If that ball's caught, and it should have been, and you just roll over, you get the half a yard, it's 14-10. Maybe it's got a different vibe. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the 49ers are absolutely for real.
Yeah.
Wait till Joe Staley comes back. Staley's not even playing. They're great left tackle.
Yeah, but they didn't need him.
I know.
They didn't need him.
But they're going to need him if they want to swim with the big fish. And yeah, I think they have a chance to swim with the big fish.
No, I think you're right. Their run game is potent.
Uh-huh.
Really potent. I mean, I didn't realize Matt Breida was that fast. I mean, I knew he was good back.
22 miles an hour, right?
Fastest of the year so far.
Faster than Chubb 2 weeks ago.
Yep. Chubb I never thought was fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are we sure these things are right?
I know. I'm not positive that Chubb was going 21 and a half and Brady was going 22.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they had over 260 yards rushing on them. I mean, they just dominated the Browns front seven And yeah, I mean, I hear all you're saying about, you know, the placating the players for the Cleveland Browns, but they ran 46 plays. We talked to Kurt Warner yesterday, and we asked him, you know, what's been up with the ups and downs of the Cleveland Browns? And he's right. He said they're not running the ball. They had like eight carries,
mm-hmm.
eight carries on the day, and two of them were, you know, for Modell. So at 16, it's not 18 carries on the day. 18 carries
eight
on the day.
First half, I think it was.
Yes, eight or in the nine, whatever it was. But 18 on the day.
No, they're out of Odell. Whack. They're out of whack, Teague.
It's play calling. Out of whack. It's play calling. It's execution. It's all those little things that matter. And a young head coach is what's going to befall a young head coach because he thinks he can do it all.
You know, a lot of times the press conferences don't really mean a whole lot. It's a lot of it. A lot of it's rhetoric. A lot of it is nonsensical. Let me just get the hell out of here. Get back on the team bus. What do I really have to talk to you about? You're not going to save my job. Sometimes you'll use the media as a platform to speak to your players.
Yep.
Some coaches are very good at that. So usually I don't grade press conferences, all right? But I do want to hear what Freddie Kitchens said post-game because that was it's 31-3. It could have been 50-3.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if they opened up the playbook, they didn't even really get two or three chapters, and they didn't have to. I want to hear what Freddie sounded like post-game. Play Freddie Kitchens, guys. Go ahead.
Got to go back and evaluate it and see where we were number-wise. We just got to do a better job coaching it and do a better job executing it. Do a better job lining up and doing a better job of our assignments. And I've got to make sure that we're not asking these guys to do too much.
All right, so he's taking a little bit on the chin for his teammates, kind of falling off, for his guys falling on the sword a bit. He sounds like a simpleton, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he sounds like a position coach is what he sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, what defines the Browns? If you were to say Cleveland Browns 2019,
mm-hmm.
what are they really, really, really good at?
I thought they were going to be really, really good at play action pass. That's what I really thought they'd be good at.
Yeah.
Because Baker is accurate, or he mm-hmm. was. You had options everywhere. Before Njoku went down, obviously, he's still on IR, tight end. And somebody else you're going to have to placate when he comes back. It further gets complicated. He's going to want the ball. I thought they would have had a very good upfront defense, which they do in spurts, although they got smashed again mm-hmm. last night. And don't tell me about Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams because you got beaten on the ground, not in terms of the second or third level in the air. I thought they'd be a good. I thought they'd have great energy.
Yeah.
I thought they'd have great energy.
But
that's the best way to frame it.
I agree.
Energy.
Well, and again,
youthful exuberance.
I would have said their best thing is internal motivation, talking, being up, being excited. They're young. They're brash. They got stars all over the place. At least names all over the place. And they haven't fully become stars, but you know, names everywhere. You know everybody on the squad.
And that's rare in the NFL.
It's very rare in the NFL.
I know.
And I'm not just talking about the skill position players.
I know.
You know, like the cornerbacks and the D linemen and, mm-hmm. You know everybody on this team. And I feel like when things go bad, that talk, that brashness, that Baker Mayfieldness about them
mm-hmm.
falls away. It goes away. And maybe it's because of the nature of this game. The thing was over by, the third quarter, middle
but
of
it wasn't though. It was 14-3 again when that
no,
ball
no, no.
Was
middle
thrown.
Of the third quarter.
Oh, my bad.
Third quarter. This game was. I mean, it was foregone. It's like they're not getting close. They're not scoring. I mean, mm-hmm. why are we even watching this thing? And it sucks when you have standalone games.
Yep.
That turn out like this.
Hey, the Packers run defense last week against the Eagles.
You're right.
They came back with a vengeance against the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe we see a similar response from the Browns. That's what you hope for because you got embarrassed on national TV as a standalone game.
You hope so.
Yeah.
But the last thing you want to be doing is riding that roller coaster, man, being good one week, bad the next week. Good one week, bad the next week. Good one week, bad the next week because guys get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And Odell's going to be frustrated. We haven't heard anything yet. But he had, four targets?
Oh,
he
it's
dropped
coming.
One.
It's coming.
He only had two receptions for 27 yards.
His worst two-week stretch production-wise in his career.
Yeah, and he's healthy.
Because he only had two for 20 last week.
And he's healthy.
Let me get that football for a sec, T. Can you reach over and just give me that ball? Because I want to throw this by you. Here's something I'm seeing from somebody who obviously didn't play quarterback outside of playing in the street.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Baker Mayfield last year.
Yep.
It was snap back, right, look, boom, bang.
Yeah, game falls out.
See what I'm doing? Here's what he's doing this year. And you know what I think he's thinking? I really think that he's thinking, I got to find Odell. I got to get Odell. I got to get to Odell. And he's padding. He's looking.
I hope not.
Rather than just being Baker Mayfield.
Get it to the open guy.
Pretty good.
Get it to the open guy. Get it to the easy completion.
But when you pad it all, it seems like you're overthinking
it. And not only that, you see him diving out of the pocket much sooner than he was.
Oh, he's bouncing. He's bouncing quick.
And so it tells me that he's lost faith in his offensive line, which shouldn't be the case. I mean, yeah, he got, what did he get, 4 sacks or 5 sacks in this game? I can't remember what the number was, but it's partly him because of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. He's holding the ball forever.
For sure.
He's holding on and trying to create some magical play. And then that in the NFL, that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that at Oklahoma, right? You can jack around in the pocket for 8 seconds and chuck one downfield, and someone's going to make that play and be like, "Oh, that was an amazing play." You do that in the NFL, what you're getting picked off. You know, you're throwing incompletions. You're holding on to the ball too long. You get a sack fumble. If you're watching us on the TV, you just saw it. Like it doesn't happen like in college in the NFL. And I'm surprised that Baker has regressed in that regard, because last year it felt like, man, that thing is coming out quick.
Because he wasn't thinking about having to, and I'll put quotes around this, having to get it to Beckham. Beckham's arrival changed everything. And really, so far, it's been for the bad.
Yeah, I mean, he had the one good great game where he had 161 yards and a couple touchdowns. That one great game.
Sure. Against the Jets. When he took the slam. Baker threw it 5 yards in the air, and he ran 85 yards.
But that's what Baker...
Because the Jets were on
blame
defense.
Baker was good at last year. Throwing short passes, 5 to 8 yards, get into his playmaker's hands, go make a play happen. If you make a guy miss, great. If not, we're moving, right? It was pace. I don't feel that pace anymore with this Cleveland Browns team. And as a result, they're going 3 and outs. They're getting off the field too quickly. Their defense gets exhausted. And there's talent on that defensive side, but... I mean, you can't even make really excuses because the first play of the game was an 83-yard touchdown.
Come on.
They're a mess.
They're a mess.
They're great some days. They're horrendous others. And that's a bad, spread to have. Not being consistent, being great and being horrible. That's rough to deal with.
I'd rather have incremental progress, maybe where you don't pop and it's not as, wow, this team. Because they give you a little tantalizing taste. I'd rather of what they could be. I'd rather have a team that might not give you that tantalizing taste, but conversely, their fall isn't so thunderous, so violent.
Yep.
I mean, they go from the top of the skyscraper to the basement.
And this is my point about their schedule.
Coaching.
Right?
They're not coached
well. It's part about the schedule, but they play Seattle on Sunday, short-ish week. Mm-hmm. They have a bye week, which should be great, but they come out of the bye week and play New England.
Yeah.
And so it's a good shot. They're going to be 2-5. By the almost midpoint of the season.
Oh,
and then what are we saying then?
Well, you're going to have to say that you have to hope the Ravens don't run away with anything, which I don't think the Ravens will.
No.
Plus, they've got a game at hand because they beat them head-to-head in terms of tiebreaker stuff.
True.
So, again, that's why I said before about seven or eight minutes ago, it's salvageable theoretically. No one's going to run away with the AFC North. They've got a ton of talent. Mm-hmm. There's things you can kind of hang your hat on, but it's nothing concrete. It's nothing that they've done tangibly necessarily.
Yeah, there's nothing that says I feel good about this Browns team, even though they had a bad day.
Yeah.
Because it was a bad day all the way around.
No, so it was week one when they got destroyed by the Titans. They had 40-something points.
Right.
They've had a lot of bad days.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, the theme, and I didn't really, well, we certainly talked about it, and it resonated with me, but, and we'll get into this coming up next here. Think about the post-game comments Delanie Walker had week one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say, if Delanie Walker had the Browns, who aren't even in the same division, you don't think that everybody else around football has their sights set on, especially Nick Bosa?
Yeah.
With Ohio State, we'll get to that. Sherman postgame. They don't like Baker.
And the conversation that we had in the preseason, BT, because the things that Baker was saying about the Giants, about the Giants fans, about Daniel Jones, and then what he did at the beginning of this game, which drew the ire of Richard Sherman, Baker is unconventional. We'll dig into this on the other side of this break. And I was worried about it, and now I'm even more worried about it.
Unconventionality is a fun thing in our business, in entertainment. Unconventionality from your quarterback is dangerous. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. However, I will defend Baker with great vigor, and I will take on my esteemed colleague here, my co-partner, my boy. You got Sherman? I got Baker's back on this. We got a little, for somebody's lying. We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Howdy, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Ozzie. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. So the Yankees move on. Yankees just rolled right through Minnesota using the leather last night. Torres with a sick play. LeMahieu with a great pick. Aaron Judge with a big play. Didi with a nice play.
Yep.
The Yankees get to chill. We'll get a little Astros and the Rays tonight. So baseball obviously is still there. Be a little fun.
I love this. Verlander versus the bullpen.
Advantage, Verlander.
Exactly.
Inbounds, out-of-bounds coming up next year on the show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Carson Palmer coming up in hour number two. Former NFL quarterback, USC quarterback. First overall pick back in the day, early 2000s. But I think it was 03, whatever it was, something like that. All right, so somebody's lying here. Somebody's lying. Somebody is a lying, all right? Richard Sherman had this to say post-game. Quote, "What's amazing and annoying was him not shaking hands at the beginning," Sherman said. "That's some college bleep. It's ridiculous. We're all trying to get psyched up, but shaking hands with your opponent, that's NFL etiquette. And when you pull Bush League stuff, that's disrespectful to the game. And believe me, that's going to get us fired up." End quote.
Yes.
Richard, you're kind of lying, buddy.
Yeah.
Because I'm staring at the video, and you're a liar.
And he did shake your hand.
Why would he? Well, just so you know, this was a big deal this morning.
Until
Jake Trotter, who covers the Browns for ESPN, actually, he uncovered video where they go through the whole line.
Yeah.
Mayfield. Now, it was a pretty terse exchange, a quick handshake between Baker and Sherman. It was a pretty extended hug with Kittle, the tight end for the 49ers.
Yeah, and that's not unusual. You're getting ready to play a football game. You know, sometimes these things get blown out of proportion, but we don't know if something else happened before this, like before the handshake, before, you know.
But he references specifically the handshake.
I agree.
He's got to retract this. He looks bad.
He does look bad.
He looks like a liar.
Well, it almost looks like he's trying to create a narrative about Baker Mayfield, about something that happened in the game. Because, you know, Richard gets crazy in game. You know, he's the guy that screamed in Tom Brady's face. You know what I mean?
Yep.
In game.
And Aaron Andrews.
That was after the game. But you know what I mean? In game.
I didn't care about that.
In game. I mean, he was emotional.
I hear you.
Right? Don't grab.
Everybody had it. A lot of people did because it was a woman. But it was an emotional.
He's not even looking at who it was.
I defended him. I didn't have a problem with that.
Right? You grab a guy because you want the immediacy of that interview after an emotional moment.
Here's your moment.
I mean, it's,
here you go.
That's what's going to happen. You're going to get screamed at, but it is what it is. But something probably happened in game. So then why not say that?
Why frame this? Why lie? Overtly lie?
I don't know.
I'm looking at the video. You see the video?
I'm watching it right here. It's all
I didn't see up on the other screen there.
Yeah. So it's
is weak on Sherman's part.
Weird.
This is weak, man. Let's call for what it is. Richard Sherman, has been football irrelevant for 3 or 4 years. It's been irrelevant. I mean, he really has been since he left Seattle, and even really his last year when he got hurt, and it was unfortunate. And I like, we've had Richard on the show.
Yep.
He's a smart guy, but he's also a very calculated person.
Yep.
He's reaching for the low-hanging fruit, and he's latching onto a narrative that everybody will believe because most people are anti-Baker at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little young, a little petulant. People don't love that with people who haven't done anything yet, young athlete. They want you to accomplish something first. And he's probably saying to himself, hey, I can insert myself to the meaningful part of the equation, a place I haven't been for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that's why he did it.
Yeah.
I don't think he got wrapped up in something that happened on 3rd and 2. I think he said, you know,
but why
I'm going to frame the young guy because I can.
But why say it?
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
I just tweeted Richard directly, not that it's going to matter, he is responding to a few people.
Yeah.
I tweeted from our account.
What's he saying?
Come on the show.
What's he saying about this to people who are calling him on it?
Basically telling them to get lost.
Yeah.
No context as to, it was a quick change. No, nothing about the actual handshake. Everything around it, like an emotional response, like, you know, get lost or what are you going to do to me? You know, that stuff. And that's fine. But nothing about the handshake.
But it also looks like...
Nothing I've seen.
It also looks like Baker said something to him.
That's fine.
So that's
maybe, did you say that?
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe, like, seriously, look at it. If you're watching, if you can't see it because we don't have it on, but BT has it on his.
Yeah, I got it on my laptop.
On his laptop. It looks like Baker says something to him. Like his head travels with him, and he says something to him.
You know what I take from that?
Maybe that's what Sherman got. Upset about.
Maybe. You know what I take from that? And I've watched it 25,000 times, slowed down frame by frame. I take away from it. Sherman walked into that huddle with an agenda, and that's fine.
Because that's how he gets himself motivated.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
And he was a 5th-round pick, whatever. He wasn't great athlete compared to the average human being. Mm-hmm. But in football, measurables for a quarterback, not an uber athlete. He's gotten here on intellect, on heart, on hustle, And he was a borderline, although I think the scheme really helped him. I always thought he was a little bit overrated in coverage, but whatever. I don't need to get into that now.
Yep.
I think what happened is that he walked into there, and I actually think Baker tried to engage him like in a respectful way. Because if you watch it, Baker's, now he could be saying, go bleep yourself. I don't know.
That's what I don't know.
I hear you. But Baker's head, if you're watching this on TV, Baker's head goes from left to right for a good 2 or 3 seconds, and then he gets in with the linebacker, and then he gives him a real good exchange. I think that Richard Sherman just doesn't like Baker, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But don't lie. Don't create a complete
up.
Lie.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. It really, it diminishes his great character.
True.
Honestly, it diminishes Richard Sherman's great character.
And the problem
is stupid.
And the problem is it's not going. This won't go away.
That's Bush. Until he
acknowledges it.
Richard. Exactly. And if he does, then we won't talk about it again.
Yeah, you're right.
He says, you know, when you pull Bush League stuff, Richard, you're the one who's pulling the Bush League stuff.
I know.
You're flat out lying to us. You're lying. Now, if we didn't see this, this is what's unfair. This is what's unfair about the world today.
Yep.
If we didn't see this,
you're right, we would believe it.
I believe Richard Sherman. I woke up this morning, I believe Richard Sherman.
Yeah, so did
I actually tweeted something, which I've since deleted, but of course still, but I deleted it out of respect for Baker. Not that I think it's going to be gone, because but other people retweet. I know it's out there. But it was basically like, you know, act like you've been there. And until you've actually been there, conform. You know, show professional acumen or comport yourself like a pro. And I was basically taking a little shot at Baker.
Yeah.
This is just lame. And he needs to circle. Even if he says, you know what, I was emotional and I don't really remember. That's fine. I believe him.
Now let's also.
But you got to circle back.
Let's also not forget. We didn't hear this quote from Richard Sherman. We did not hear this. It's not on audio anywhere.
That's true.
This is as reported.
To Silver, right?
By Mike Silver.
Okay.
So we don't know if Mike Silver took some creative license with this. Which is creating this, you know what,
well,
storm
you know what?
For Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman still has the forum to say, you know what, I was misquoted. That's not what I said because that's not what happened.
Yeah.
The window's still there of opportunity.
And he should.
Of course. We're looking at it again. Baker Mayfield, there's just a lot of stuff that travels with this guy. I mean, I really...
People don't want to like him.
I do, and I'm still hanging on to that like. I don't think the Beckham pickup was good for him. I just don't, you know. And by the way, again... You know, and ESPN is so guilty. Would you get off his jock? Would you get off Odell Beckham Jr.'s jock?
Yeah, because
every time he plays, ESPN has the slow motion, one-handed grab. Catch the ball with two hands. You drop the third down pass in the flat.
True.
Which was a big play, by the way.
I agree.
Get off his jock already.
It is.
Ugh.
The other thing that drew ire, not ire, but the ire of one of the San Francisco 49ers actually happened in college.
Oh, that was good.
Joey Bosa, who was, he was on that team. No, was he on that team? I don't know if Joey Bosa was on that team.
Let's see. This is Baker's second season. He did that. Bosa was on that team.
I think Bosa was on that team. When it was. This was Nick Bosa, though.
Yes.
Right? So Baker Mayfield, as we all remember, when they beat Ohio State, took the flag and tried to plant it in the field. Obviously, it was field turf, so it didn't actually stick in the field. But he planted it in the field, so Joey Bosa... after a big play, did the same thing.
Nick Bosa.
I mean, Nick Bosa, after a big play, did the same thing. Imaginary flag in Baker Mayfield's turf. I mean, it was just kind of cool.
But then he did a post game with the real
true,
flag.
But which tells you.
Which was awesome.
Which tells you,
yeah.
Like, the Cleveland Browns are not, I don't know, they're not an elite team. They're not the New England Patriots.
No. The team that I watched last night sucks.
They're not the team. They're not the team.
They're not the Patriots that
you get up for, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Like the Patriots, you're circling that game. Yep. We got to be ready. We got to be dialed in. The Cleveland Browns, because of all of the talk that they've done this offseason, because of the brash, I don't know, nature of Joey of Baker Mayfield, because of all of these factors, they're the team that team circle. It's crazy for a team that's 2-3 right now. It's kind of, you know, it's interesting, and it's going to make it hard for them. This is why when I talk about quarterbacks in the National Football League playing CEO-like, saying the right things, doing the right things, you know, not overly inflating your opponents, not, you know, not giving them billboard material. This is why quarterbacks, because they get talked to every day.
Mm-hmm.
This is why they have that. That's why they behave that way. Baker Mayfield is the opposite of that. and he's creating a target that's unnecessary for his team. He really is.
I know he is. I know he is. And I really didn't think that it would necessarily permeate their space. I thought it was a lot of nonsense, but you can see it again. Delanie Walker after week one. He focused on that. Last night, Bosa with the flag, Sherman with the handshake or non-handshake. Everybody's got a little something. Anytime you can jab Baker, somebody, if his hands are down, boom, they get a little jab in there. And they seemingly enjoy it.
That's right.
And that is not good for a player who right now, let's face it, as much as we think Baker is a good player, Baker's not Dan Marino in terms of talent. He's not 6'3" with one of the best arms of all time.
That's right.
He's got to rely on precision and accuracy and moving a little bit and a little bit of shiftiness and intellect. And, you know, his mechanics have to be on point because he's small.
Yeah.
And if he's just a little off, he goes from good to bad fast. Yeah,
he goes to 56% completion percentage bad.
And
4 touchdowns to 8 interceptions on the season bad.
Yikes.
That's not good. By the way, Richard Sherman has somewhat backtracked.
Oh, we've got a little Michael Jackson moonwalking
after this footage has come out.
What'd he say?
He said, quote, "We put a foot in his, you know what, end of story." That's it.
All right.
So I guess, it's not really a backtrack, but he just said,
look, this is a little clarification.
We beat the crap out of him. It doesn't matter.
They did. And the 49ers are absolutely real. I mean, their defense is really good.
Yep.
Shanahan is so, and it's funny, you watch Shanahan's run offense and how he creatively designs all these run concepts, right?
Right.
And then you look at the Falcons offense and you're like, no, you think Matt Ryan misses him?
Yeah.
He's missed him for a couple of years now.
Of course he does. I mean,
even though last year was pretty good, but you know what I mean.
It changed immediately for them.
It did.
And then I don't even know who their coordinator is right now up in Atlanta, because it was Sark, but Sark couldn't, you know, fill in the void of Shanahan.
4-0. Look at that. I mean, that's impressive staring back at us there.
It is.
49. And Levi Stadium was hopping.
Yep.
Had a good energy to it. 49ers going to be around a long time this year. Don't think this is a cute little story. This is a team that's going to win easily. Double figure. I'm not going to say 14-2, but they'll win at least 10, maybe 11. Could get. I mean, I think everything's in play for them right now.
Tough.
I don't. But. Say, but I mean, no, it definitely is. It is. But I think it's tough when you base it on maybe the preconceived notions we had coming into the season.
True.
If Todd Gurley is like this the rest of the year, I'm taking San Francisco over over the Rams. Now, if Todd Gurley suddenly shows some athletics, like real, like burst and spirit, all right, we'll have to recalibrate. But right now, I think the 49ers are a better team. I like their defense. I mean, I just think they're better.
They are right now.
Right now, they're better. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney show. All right, so somebody's lying, and it's Richard Sherman. But it was an entertaining game for all the wrong reasons. Like, really, the game was actually pretty lame, but the stuff around the game was pretty interesting and pretty revealing. Axe update is right now. We'll come back inbounds, out of bounds. Carson Palmer, hour number 2. Tiki and Tierney. All right, Tiki and Tierney, off to a good start. CBS Sports Radio here. Time now for the game plan for success. Before we get to inbounds, out of bounds, sponsored by Napa, taking a look at the team and their plan for success. How about the Cardinals clawing all the way back last night, game 4 against the Braves, and future Hall of Famer Yadier Molina had the game-tying single and an epic bat flip as we fired that thing into the outfield. Heads up! As a little walk-off sack fly. Remember, he tied it up in the 8th, and he had the walk-off sack fly in the 10th to win it. So, despite their backs being up against the walls, facing elimination, the Redbirds continue to be patient at the plate as they wait for their pitch. And that one, obviously, has been a good series. Napa believes every driver deserves quality parts. That's why you can do it yourself at a Napa Auto Parts store or have it done for you at a Napa Auto Care. Either way, that is Napa know-how. So, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. D-Cell, just be on the hunt for any responses from Mr. Richard Sherman. We have tweeted him from our verified account, and we'd love to have him on the show. He seems to be in a responsive mood, as was Kevin Durant. KD is going to be a must-follow on social media this year because he's going to have a lot of downtime because he ain't playing.
Yeah, exactly, because he's not doing anything.
You see what he got into today?
Well, I mean,
not that it was bad, but he was really...
But that's KD.
Yeah, but it's petty. I don't know.
But why does he like to do...
I think he's just bored, man.
How can you be bored? You're rehabbing from an... I mean, maybe he is.
What's KD now? 29, 30? You're 29, 30.
But I know he's got a bunch of projects going on with his manager, / agent, / business partner, some in media and in other things. And they're in New York. And I imagine he's busy.
But no kids, right? So he doesn't get woken up by the screaming, rattling of cereal boxes or toys hitting the wall. None of that stuff.
None of that stuff that we know of. But I mean, I don't know. It's like he enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he enjoys the controversy.
Yeah,
maybe he's like Baker in a sense. He likes the hate drives him.
Or he's just thin-skinned.
Maybe.
Fine.
But Baker's not thin-skinned.
How do we know?
I don't think Baker's thin.
I think Baker hears all the criticism.
I think he does, but I don't think he's thin-skinned.
It might not bother him, but he definitely hears it.
I think it bothers KD.
Yeah, I would frame it that way too.
Remember the Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
The
writer.
I can't remember the article, the newspaper, but
it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, he took umbrage with it.
He did.
Like, got upset about it.
Took away access.
You're right.
We've had the gentleman on the show. What's his name? I'm forgetting his name right. Yeah, Barry Tremble, who's been there for years. And KD basically cut him out of the family. Oh, man. All right, Tiki, you ready for some inbounds, out of bounds?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, starting a little baseball here. Tiki, Astros trying to close out the Rays last night in Game 3 of the American League Divisional Series with Zach Greinke on the hill, but things didn't go according to plan. Greinke lasted just 3 2/3. He gave up 6 earned runs, and the Rays went on to win 10-3. They would eventually coast there, and they do force the Game 4, which is tonight. I believe that's the only game today, by the way. So you get the Rays and the Astros as a standalone tonight. Houston has chosen to start ace Justin Verlander, but the caveat on just 3 days rest. So starting 36-year-old Justin Verlander on 3 days rest in a non-elimination game is inbounds or out of bounds?
I think I have to say inbounds, BT, because the only other starter, I put that in quotes, starter is Wade Miley, but Wade Miley pitched 2 2/3 innings yesterday, so they don't have another starter that you could really rely upon. And I imagine, especially in a 5-game series, they came in saying, we're going to have a 3-man rotation here. So inbounds because of lack of other options, and I think Justin Verlander is at this point in his career able to do this. You know, you're not worried about injury. You're not like when you're a 27-year-old, fragile, a little bit fragile. Still, you're not worried about that.
Yeah, you're handled differently for sure.
Yeah, you're not worried about it. So I'm going to say inbounds.
Yeah, I'm going to say inbounds as well. Number one, they're receptive to his feedback, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, they empower the athlete to speak up. And as Tiki said, when you're 36, you certainly know your body.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been revitalized with the spin rate. And, you know, really since he went to Houston, he rediscovered his ace stuff. I say inbounds for this reason, though, from a tactical point of view. Keep in mind, American League Championship Series, the Yanks are waiting. That starts on Saturday, Game 1.
Mm-hmm.
So if they didn't pitch him tonight and they lost,
this is a good point.
He would go Wednesday, all right? Which means if he pitched Wednesday, he's not going to go Game 1 or 2 anyway because he just wouldn't have the requisite rest. He goes tonight. If they do win, now you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to regenerate. Boom, you can conceivably pitch him in Game 1. So it gives them a chance, number one, to shut out, you know, to close the door on a pesky Rays team, but also align their rotation. I like the move, and I think he's going to pitch well inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, TK, about this. Oklahoma will take on Texas in the Red River Showdown Saturday in Dallas, Texas, the Cotton Bowl. According to OU head coach Lincoln Riley, the Sooners will refrain from any horns down taunting. Yep, quote, we won't do it. Our players won't do it, just like the Big 12 championship game, end quote. Inbounds, out of bounds. As long as it's not specifically directed at a Texas player, the horns down sign should not be an unsportsmanlike penalty for taunting.
Yeah, I'm going to say inbounds to this. This is what rivalry games are all about. It's creating, I don't know, controversy in a sense, at least on field, emotion. You know, everybody in the stands are doing all of these things as well. So I think Lincoln Riley is pointing this out specifically because he doesn't want the penalty. He's telling his players, we can't afford 15 yards, in the second quarter or third quarter after a big play for nonsense. But at the end of the day, I don't think it should be a penalty anyways. It's what college sports is about.
It's such a joke that this thing is. It's a 15-yard penalty, too, right?
That's what I mean. Come on.
Come on. Let them have a little fun.
Yeah.
Let the 80,000 fans do it for you. Or at least the 40,000.
Well, they are. They're going to do it regardless. They're not getting penalized.
I hear you. This is smart on the part of Lincoln Riley. A rule to rule. You know, they're trying to build things. Well, I mean, he's obviously trying to win a championship. Texas is trying to win and further build their program here. So stay away from that, I don't want to say To us, it's petty. But if it's not petty to the NCAA and they're going to flag you 15, then you got to conform and you've got to abide by the rules. So it seems like an overreaction. Now, let's be
very
honest.
It's so.
Horns down. Please give me a break. But it could also cost you a game because the rules have been established in bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
This is a big story, and I know you've been following this. The Houston Rockets, the NBA, Daryl Morey with just one poop, enter, really complicated Adam Silver and others' life. How about this? So Daryl Morey issued an apology over the weekend for his controversial tweet that is causing a rift in business relations between China and the NBA. Now, he's since deleted the tweet. That means nothing. Quote, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. That was the tweet. And quote, since the tweet, multiple Chinese sponsors have suspended business with the Rockets, yet NBA Commissioner Adam Silver showed support for Morey this morning.
Values of the NBA are to support freedom of expression, and certainly freedom of expression by members of the NBA community. And in this case, Daryl Morey, as the general manager of the Houston Rockets, enjoys that right as one of our employees. What I also try to suggest is I understand that there are consequences from that exercise of, in essence, his freedom of speech. And, you know, we will have to live with those consequences.
Well, you can feel the wheels churning as he tries to hit every perfect chord and say every word perfect. That's a tough spot for Adam Silver.
Yeah,
so, inbounds, out of bounds here, Teak. Adam Silver needs to discipline Daryl Morey, even if it's just to save face for business relations with China.
I'm going to say inbounds to this. I think, and it's a token thing, but it's not nothing that's going to hurt him truly in the pocket. But in Asian cultures, so much of right and wrong is about saving face. And so even if you do it just for that purpose, I think it's worth it for the NBA, because the Chinese market is enormous. There is 1 billion more people in China than there are in the United States. 1 billion. It's a lot. They have 1.4. We have almost 300 million, 400, maybe 400 million in the United States.
A little less than 400.
It's a lot. A
lot of clicks.
It's a lot.
A lot of jerseys.
If you just play, just for the like public relations sake, do something, even if it means nothing. Still support his right of free speech. But discipline him a little bit. So.
But if you discipline him, you're not supporting his right for freedom of speech. You're penalizing him for saying, that's why I really disagree with this. You know, we might have to circle back to this. My answer is clearly out of bounds. I would have a real, real problem if Adam Silver did that. Now, I don't, you know, Daryl Morey's got to know better. And I'm sure if he knew that it would take on this life, he would never have tweeted that. And I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but the Brooklyn Nets owner, Mr. Tsai,
Tsai, I believe. Yep.
He weighed in, contrary to Daryl Morey. Yao Ming is reportedly livid. I've listened to this entire press conference. I was driving up to CBS Sports HQ today, and I got a chance to listen to this live. And I'll tell you what, it's a really delicate dance and a very tough balance to straddle. I thought he did a good job because he did not penalize Daryl Morey. He might not like it, and it might take money out of his pocket. I understand that. But to throw your own under the bus for another country, I'm not doing that. And I realize they've got a lot more people than we do. Fundamentally, I can't get down with that.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Tough spot. It is. You know, it's interesting, too, because The NBA had an official statement. I don't have the specifics of it in the statement, but the translation of the NBA's official statement was much harsher on Daryl Morey than the NBA's statement. NBA issues a statement. The Chinese statement translates the NBA statement. When you translate the Chinese statement back to English, it's much harsher than the original NBA.
That's why he circled back.
And that's why he circled back.
He had to clarify it.
He had to clarify it.
Oh, boy, I'm sure. The season starts 2 weeks from tonight. You think he really wants to deal with this mess?
No, of course not.
This is a big mess.
I agree.
And you have Yao Ming, and Silver used the word livid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's livid. Yao Ming.
That's geopolitical issue.
It is.
China and Hong Kong. Especially because they just had the 200-year celebration or something like that. It was some big celebration over there in China.
You got to read the room better, Morey. I'm sorry.
I 100% agree.
How many GMs are on Twitter? I don't know many that are. Mm. And if you are, listen, you know, we're in an era where, you know, expression is paramount. We've always been able to express ourselves here. but now it's a different conversation. The last 5, 10, 12 years, you got to know better. It's your league, and that's a colossal mess up by Morey, but we'll see how it handles itself. All right, hour two coming up. Jerry Jones weighs in on his coach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.